All right, so what's up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots, episode 41. We've been away for a while, but now we're back. We're going to be breaking down the entire RTC Cup at the 125-kilogram weight class. You know, this weight class has been the talk of the tournament, honestly. And, you know, as a heavyweight, it really ever is. You had now the top three guys, country top four, actually. You know, Nick Gwizdowski coming as number one guy. Gable Steveson with the sole loss. Nick Gwizdowski looking to avenge that. Mason Paris coming off a huge win at Senior Nationals. And, you know, another guy who's been a staple in this field as Dom Bradley. And then you have one of the Canadian guys. You have Amar Desi, who wrestled for Oregon State, was a two-time All-American, was right there in the field. And then you have, you really don't want to say, but he's kind of a newcomer to the senior level scene at this point, Jordan Wood out of Lehigh, who did place fourth at the 2019 NCAA tournament, with his only losses being to Derek White and, you know, obviously Gable Steveson in a third-place match after upset by Kassar. But going off of this tournament had a lot more drama than we expected, you know. Obviously, if you're watching this, you know about the first, you know about the Gwiz versus Mason Paris series. The first one, we'll break these down later on, but Mason Paris went out to an 8-0 lead on Nick Gwizdowski. Then, you know, Gwizdowski, the man he is, took him down, caught five leg laces, now is up 12-8, proceeds to tech him. Then the next match, Mason Paris comes back. You know, same thing, except Paris never got caught in that lace, produced a couple turns of his own, end up winning that match. You know, obviously the talk of this tournament coming into it would have been Gable Steveson trying to avenge his only real losses up to this point that really mattered to Nick Gwizdowski, who he's ultimately going to have to beat if he wants to get that Olympic team spot. You know, Gable obviously did end up winning that match 4-1, but if I have to say it myself, it's kind of anticlimactic. Or it really just got overshadowed by what happened with Mason Paris versus Nick Gwizdowski. But then on the other side of things, you have Dom Bradley. You know, the dude's been a staple, 31 years old, still going strong. After Gwizdowski, you know, goes 2-2, texts Amar Desi, texts Mason Paris, loses to Gable Steveson, and drops a match to Mason Paris. When Wolfpack and Spartan Combat wrestled, Nick Gwizdowski did not go out there to heavyweight. They sent out Mike Machiavello, which we did get a little bit of drama in our Instagram comment section, which I will be going over later. But, you know, overall, a very fun tournament, especially at this weight class. They made it interesting for us big boys. And, you know, I got all these matches written down right here. So we'll be going over each one of them. And you also have some more big stories in this tournament, obviously with Carson Karchla from Ohio State, almost tech-falling Micaiah Lewis, winning 9-2. Trent Hidley had a hell of a week right there. Logan Massa versus Hayden Hidley. Massa down 8-0. Ends up winning that match. Evan Wick, you know, I think I kind of expected this, but a lot of people are on the Mackay hype right now. He hasn't wrestled in a year. Evan Wick did get that win. Avengers lost from the NCAA semifinals 11-5 over Micaiah Lewis. And, you know, just a lot of great matches all around. And Sean Garrett, after he got over his weight class, bullied Seth Gross right there. And another match I really enjoyed was the James Green versus Yanni Giacomahala series. Yanni did end up winning both those matches 3-3 and 4-4 off criteria. But yeah, let's start breaking this down. So round one for our first matchup, we had pretty much the two worst guys in the field, really, is how you have to say it. But, you know, these are two All-Americans. Nonetheless, you know, I have Amar Desi out of Oregon State, placed fifth, and he placed third in 2018. You know, almost caught a bid to the finals after he almost beat Adam Kuhn. Then you have Jordan Wood, another guy who's just been a staple, right? Just, like, right there in the All-American range. So, you know, this match, it seems like Amar Desi, you know, obviously I had him winning 5-0, just the way Wood, you know, just kind of what I thought of him. But, you know, Jordan Wood didn't win an entire match this tournament. And, you know, I honestly thought he looked pretty good, too. Just shows the level of competition where a guy of that caliber is kind of getting shut out by guys. But, you know, so Amar Desi does jump out to a four-point lead. Time's closing in 5 seconds left. Concedes a takedown. But we don't end there. Jordan Wood dives in. Almost gets a free lace. Theoretically what it was, Because, you know, in folk style, you know, bail on the takedown, give 2 points, you're still winning. That's fine. But in freestyle, he catches the lace, takes you over once, it's over. And funny enough, is that's exactly what he did to Nick Neville. So, you know, I'll pass it on to you, Derek. What's your real thoughts on this match, how it played out, and how you think it might play out in the future?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, these are two titans in the, you know, in the NCAA tournament. These are two guys that, you know, you could obviously see in a top five situation with the, you know, they both have been. But coming into this, I wasn't really expecting that much out of Jordan Wood, just looking at the lineups, looking at some of the, you know, the heavyweights that we had here. You know, this is just an incredible heavyweight tournament to watch, you know, seeing all these guys, you know, be able to battle each other. But everybody kind of knew going into this, Amar Desi has been training this style of wrestling for a lot longer than Wood has. And, you know, it just showed, you know, it was just a classic heavyweight match. It wasn't, you know, super high paced, anything, you know, super exciting, you know. It just was a classic, you know, kind of slowed down, slow paced heavyweight match, which I was expecting out of a newcomer in Wood and kind of a, you know, more of a, like a
veteran.
I don't want to say he's like a slower based freestyle heavyweight, but he just, you know, that's kind of how Amar Desi is. He's not trying to push super high matches, but if he's there, you know, he gets on that takedown and gets the lace, he's gonna run with it. But I was expecting this, like, kind of like what you said, like either like a 5-0 or, you know, like a 4-0 match.
Yeah, so yeah, I know, pretty much, you know, I didn't expect anything crazy to happen in this match. I thought the one kind of fear I had in this is obviously that some guys present that some guys really don't, is if you're wrestling Amar Desi or Nick Gwizdowski in this scenario, you get caught in the lace, it could be over for anybody. And you kind of saw that in the Mason Paris match the first time.
Yeah.
After you got that lace, that's just a quick change of momentum. You know, you go from being one takedown away from Tech to down by 4.
Yeah, I don't,
you know, and Valley Gwiz is going to pile those points on top of you.
I don't think I fully knew how bad a leg lace hurts until I watched this tournament. Seeing it, like, because there wasn't really much, you know, there was barely any fans watching this. So you heard everything. You heard every footstep you took. You heard every shot they took. You heard everything. And, like, hearing these guys wrestle, the screams and, like, the yells that came out of these guys' mouth as they're getting leg laced, I never knew how bad this actually hurt.
I think one of the worst ones was James Green versus Anthony Etchemendia.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Etchemendia, he was, like, screaming.
But also, you know, I think you got to realize there's James Green's a guy who's done that over and over again. You know, Ryan Deacon at the first match, Final X, text him in, what, 14 seconds? You know, I post a video of that, and obviously all the comments you're going to get is like, oh, this dude just gave up. I'm like, if you can stop that leg lace 1 out of 1,000 times, I'll give you $100 right now. You know, he's done that to guys, like, of the highest caliber. Ryan Deacon, ranked number 1 right now. You know, honestly, going to be my pick to win 157. Agreed. You know, drop a couple matches, yeah, David Carr, whatever that is. But does to Anthony Ashnall, a national champion, and to Anthony Etchemendia, a guy who probably had him outweighed, outsized by a little bit. But, you know, obviously Green cutting down. I don't believe Etchemendia. You know, I don't know how this man makes the weight, but he does it.
Yeah, it is incredible to see him make that weight. Yeah. He is a massive human being.
Same thing with Deacon, though, also. Built.
Yeah.
But on another note, the Pitt Wrestling Club will be hosting an event on Rockfin. Yep. I think the feature matchup, at least for us, you know, I don't really care what the normal feature matchup is, but they do have Jordan Wood out of Lehigh will be wrestling Demetrius Thomas from Pitt. Demetrius Thomas was the 7th seed the last national tournament, and he did have a 10-6 win over Jordan Wood at the duel, which was at Lehigh. I'm going to say my picks right here. I have Jordan Wood winning 6-0. I think Wood looked good at this. You know, he's, at the end of the day, a guy that's going to chase competition. That's what he did, you know. He sees all my stories, you know. I like to do, but you honestly can't pick him over any of those guys. But this is going to be a match that's going to remind you guys that he's here and he's not going anywhere. You know, Demetrius Thomas did not, in my opinion, have a great showing, at least what I expected of him. Didn't place his senior nationals. But, however, Christian Lance looked amazing. That's who he met up with in the blood round. And that didn't go his way. Christian Lance edged it out with a 1-point win. And Lance is going to be a guy to watch out for also. But Wood's just been wrestling consistently, you know, chasing the best competition. I think this is going to be placed, if he can hold the same mentality and tenacity that he brings into this, I have him being a clear dominant winner over Demetrius Thomas. But I think with a lot of the predictions, again, people making freestyle, they're all subject to something, because all you really need is one guy to catch a lace right there, you know?
Me, if any of you guys who've been watching the videos for a little bit now, remember the mock NCAA draft. I somehow convinced this man to put Demetrius Thomas into the finals. So I'm rooting for my man again to come out with a 1-0 win over Jordan Wood. A 1-0 win. He's going to get pushed out in the last 10 seconds of the match and win.
No.
Yep.
No. But first off, that can't really happen for the sole fact that you're going to call for passivity somebody eventually if no points are being scored. But, you know, I'll let you believe, you know, if he wins, good job. If he does, not really know what to tell you. But next match today, we had Spartan Combat versus the NJRTC. Again, on paper, I think, again, Spartan Combat would have blew this whole thing out of the water if they did have Kyle Dakin and Gabe Dean. But Drew Foster looked good, man.
Yeah, he looked really good.
And this one, obviously, our first match of the day was a good one. We had Nishan Garrett versus Vito Arujo. Vito ended up winning that match. It was a pretty high-scoring match, great match in both parts. Again, this was the first day in the pools. Garrett obviously looked a little, you know, worn from that cut. The second day, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say before we hop on this, but him coming back, like, because obviously, you know, he hadn't wrestled for a while. He was kind of, you know, on a little bit of a break. He looked incredible. He looked like he didn't skip a beat. And obviously, like you said, the weight cut the first day did show that he did cut, you know, cut quite a bit of weight. But, yeah, he looked really, really good the second, you know, ended up doing really well the rest of the time. I was shocked. That was somebody who I was really shocked about.
Yeah, and for the second match, we had, you know, I think this was the feature match, obviously, here. Yanni Diakmahalis, the second best guy in the country right now. Right below Zane Rutherford, where he lost the third match, second match, whatever it was, the Final X at Wilkes University. You know, on session.
I was there live.
At the end of the
day. I was there live.
Yeah. I watched it online, but, you know, that's cool, too. James Green making the cut to 68 kilos, I think it was, with the 3-kilo allowance. But Yanni's a guy that, like, it's weird to wrestle him. But the more and more you wrestle him, if you make the right adjustments, you can beat him. Obviously, I'm from Jersey. I'm going to have James Green coming out on top next time. But Yanni knows how to win those close matches, and this is what he did right here. Won the 3-3 on criteria. And going up to 74 kilograms, we will have Makai Lewis versus Jordan Balfour. You know, Balfour, a big I think he's from Canada also, I'm assuming. But Makai kind of just came out. I think he teched him in this one. They're pretty dominant after dropping his first match to Carson Karchula 9-2. He had to come back, make a statement. And, you know, he did it right here. There's nothing more to say about this. But I think, honestly, my favorite match is going to go down to 86 with Nate Jackson and Drew Foster. This match went down to the wire, you know. There's nothing more you can say about that. Jackson's winning 3-2. Foster comes in, steps behind, gets a takedown with time expired, you know, and then I don't even know how to explain this, but Foster is a guy, like Foster, Mike Machiavello, or all guys are forgotten national champs. Like, they know how to scrap, and then they're going to be the guys to win those close matches like that, and that's what he did right there. And then we can go into 97. 97 was, am I tripping right now, or was that 97? Oh, okay. This match was like, eh. But it was Ty Walsh, you know, out of Virginia Tech, wrestled at the NJRTC now. And then you had Jacob Cardenas. But I think the honest thing is, Cardenas was a stud in high school, you know. Had some back-and-forth battles with AJ Ferrari in his time. You know, beat him a couple times. He actually ended up getting the starting spot at Bergen over Ferrari after they transferred, not got kicked out of Blair Academy. But, yeah, so Cardenas is a stud. He has a bright future, but he kind of – the size advantage was just You know, it just looked rough for him. I don't really know how to talk about that.
That man is a absolute unit.
Yeah. Cardenas is good, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just shows, like, they're in love with this game. Like, if you saw Colin Moore versus Jacob Cardenas, that was a 25-second tech.
Yeah.
You know? Give Cardenas one or two more years, that could be a winnable match for him.
Yeah.
Like, that kid, like, he's like an AJ Ferrari with technique. Like, I don't even know how to explain that, but we'll hop into our heavyweight matches, the one we do want to break down. Again, Dom Bradley. You know, he's like more of like, he's an old school heavyweight with new school style. Yeah. That's probably the best way for me to put it to you guys. He's a guy who knows how to win those close matches, and he's going to do it pretty much every time. A 1 point lead for Dom Bradley is like a 10 point lead for Gable Steveson. The match is over. That's the best way. You know, Dom versus Jordan Wood, this kind of just looked like an age-out match right there. Same thing I saw with Dom Bradley and Trent Hoger at Senior Nationals, that third, fourth match. Dom just really, you know, Jordan took two shots, got stuffed immediately on both those, give go behind.
Grown man strength.
Yeah. This grown-ass man strength right there. But, you know, Dom gets a push out, and then he gets another point off of something. I don't remember what it was, but it really didn't look too competitive a match. You know, the score is obviously going to say stuff like that. Getting with a guy who's going to fight and stay there with you like Jordan would. Can't expect to put too many points on him if you're not willing to take too many committed attacks. But at the end of the day, all that really matters at this level are wins and losses. If Dom did push for that tech, I'm pretty sure Spartan Combat did win this, so he really only needed to win. But
yeah,
you know, depending on the scenario, he might have to go for something else. He might have to do something else right there. Maybe push for tech if it gave him criteria points over them. But what are your thoughts on this match as a whole? Overly, I really think Jordan Wood performed good. Dom just kind of experienced won that match for him.
Dom Bradley just showed who Dom Bradley is in this match. He went out there and, like he said many, many times, showed him his grown-ass man strength. Like you said, Jordan Wood took those two shots and he just absolutely buried him when he did that. And I mean, that just kind of shows where the level is at. And I think like we've been saying about a couple other guys talking through this tournament so far, give Jordan Wood another year or two and, you know, give him some good training partners. And I think, you know, you could definitely see him have some really good improvements and really start, you know, making a freestyle career. But right now, I mean, Dom Bradley's a top three, top four competitor right now. You know, there's no way I don't think in any situation he's dropping a match to Jordan Wood.
Down Jordan Wood. He was Gable Stevenson's match, who was number one. Like, he's no slouch out of Bordertown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania. You know, Russell, the NJRTC, because I don't think Penn State really had a team. I'm not even sure what club this man's a part of anymore, but he's still in college.
Yeah, what club is he in? Or is he just there?
I think guys were just part of different clubs. You know, obviously Drew Foster, part of Spartan Combat right there. He might actually be part of them, because I don't know if you and I is too high of a team right there. But you had Dom Bradley, who chose to wrestle with Spartan Combat.
He might be at the University of Pennsylvania RTC with Mark Hall.
Yeah, he might be. I really don't know.
That sounds right.
I think Lehigh might have their own training club since he's still in college.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, like, honestly, the partners there aren't too good unless he can go to Penn State. That's not really going to happen at this point with the abundance of heavyweights right there. Yeah, but Dom Bradley, you know, put up a Dom Bradley performance. I was actually just funny thing about this. I was going through these Flow Wrestling interviews just because I was bored. Dom was talking. It's like, oh, I got a little bit out of shape. I was the biggest I've ever been. I was just stopped running, just lifting the entire time. You got up to 315. I was like casual heavyweight things. But, you know, Dom, you know, he's a guy, like he said himself, he's just in to have fun at this point. You know, obviously it would be great for him to cap it out with an Olympic spot and make a run, you know. Everybody, like, that's what these guys are working to achieve for, you know. Again, I really don't think anybody that makes it out of the United States is going top three. You know, as the rankings stand right now, obviously, because you could very well see Gable Steveson, Mason Parrish go up, knock off Taha Gul. Like, it could happen. But the chances of that are pretty much not against them. Best way for me to put it. But, yeah, Dom's just guy getting in this to have fun. Gable, not the Gable we really know. Just kind of all business in this one. It's kind of anticlimactic. But, you know, good for him. He won the match. Gwizdowski, you know, again, a guy looks solid, but it just kind of looked like just not the Gwizdowski I've seen before.
Yeah, no.
It looks like he could have put up better shots, you know. Obviously, you might be rushing yourself a little bit. But if you look at that Gable match, Gwizdowski could have had a four, got called out of bounds. That would have meant the match right there, obviously. 4-4 criteria, that's a win for him. Yeah. Criteria is how the matches have been before. Gable gets a takedown off a seatbelt wizard position. I don't know if he should have came on top of that. I think it would have been better for Gwiz to ground it and go out of bounds.
Yeah.
0 points. And then Gwiz takes a shot. Gable spins behind for two. That was really the tail of that match. But, yeah, now we're out of the first pool, and then we can run to the second pool, which had the Cliff Keen Wrestling Club, who ended up winning the tournament. NC's Wolfpack RTC, I think it's called, who ended up placing fourth at this tournament. And the Gopher Wrestling Club, who – yeah, no, I think Gopher Wrestling Club was the one who placed sixth, got nothing out of this. But the first match, our first look at Mason Paris, you know, is going to be the talk of this tournament after this, obviously. Mason Paris, dominant win over Tony Nelson, you know. A lot of people were expecting Gable Steveson. People are going to say he ducked him. You can have your own opinions on that. But, again, ducking somebody doesn't move you up the rank. It doesn't move you down the ranks. It doesn't move you up. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. You know, I don't think Gable really wanted to wear himself out against Mason Paris and have to wrestle, like, 30 minutes later against Nick Gwizdowski. Because that could impact that match.
You know, at a tournament like this, you got to pick your battles. You know, he had nothing to lose. You know, he had nothing to prove wrestling a guy like Mason Paris. But he had something to prove going out there to wrestle Gwiz. You know, he had to prove, you know, to kind of solidify himself that, you know, he could be the big dog in the heavyweight class. And, you know, I think that's what he went out there and did. So, I mean, you could, like you said, people could say that he ducked. But I think it was more of kind of like a, you know, pick your battles type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you said, do you really want to go wrestle a full-length match with Mason Paris? Or
attack him. You never know, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, at the end of the day, that could have, again, been a factor with Nick Gwizdowski. Gwiz obviously didn't duck nobody. Just went out there. You know, I've read his comments, and he posted this thing on Rockfin. You know, he kind of, you know, he had fun. You get tested by opponents. It happens. You're not expecting to walk through everybody. And you have a target on your back. And all that really happened is that day, the target got hit. It is what it is. But Mason Paris, dude, came out firing against Tony Nelson. Oh, my God. 8-2.
Yeah. It was a match. You know, we kind of talked a little bit about this match before we got started here. I said this whole tournament, Mason Paris just kept his foot on the gas. And I think that's kind of what, you know, put him ahead in these matches that, you know, he really needed to come up big to kind of prove himself to everybody. I think he wrestled incredible. You know, I think, you know, he keeps that up and brings that over to the, you know, into the folk style season. And then, you know, the closing moments, the freestyle season, he's going to, you know, it's going to show. It's going to show that he's the guy that, you know, people are kind of doubting, but, you know, he's just going to keep pushing it and, you know, keep proving people wrong.
Yeah, I think a couple things to note about this is, remember we did our podcast with Trent Hilger?
Yes.
We asked him about Mason Paris, again, a guy he's had a lot of battles with. But, you know, Paris kind of started to separate the field just a little bit. You know, I mean, he pinned him, but, like, again, the score is close. Catches him in weird moves. I think the similarities that they have are obviously in the wrestling style. Trent's going to take those, like, half shots just to open up a full shot, and Paris to go full. Yeah, and both presents offense advantages and some disadvantages. Trent's are going to be not getting caught underneath, obviously, and being able to get the leg more clean. Paris's are going to be getting able to bait people and maybe turning that two-point move into six-point move in freestyle right there. But against Gable, Paris's style is always going to be more beneficial, right? Because, you know, if he takes full shots, gets in on the leg, is able to trap and stalemate it. That's 0 points. Again, quoting Trent, he said, you know, he takes a lot of shots. Not all of them are good shots. But if he does connect on them, that's where it starts to go get dangerous. And against Gwizdowski, he started to connect on them. And, you know, it just – it was something else there.
Yeah. It was a it was crazy. You know, this whole thing, I saw Mason Paris and I was like, okay, you know, he could either have a really, really good, you know, really, really good weekend or a really bad weekend. You know, this could either go two ways for him. And he really, I feel like he proved everybody wrong. I mean, I don't think he's ever wrestled better in his whole career.
Yeah. You know, obviously I was talking again, I took that into account, his shots completion ratio, like what it looked like and all like that. I thought Gwizdowski was a guy who's just going to expose that really quickly. Same with Gable. I thought Dom would just straight up squash him. That's what Dom does. There's nothing really special about there. You know, I'm going to pick Dom over Paris any day. Just a big fan of Dom. We already know that. But unbiased-wise, we Paris do, is going to have the advantage.
Bradley. Yes. Completely
unbiased, though, Paris is going to have the advantage. But, you know, again, Floor Wrestling put out this post. What's your heavyweight rankings look like? You see a lot of stupid comments. It's like, it's not that complicated. Wazdowski's number one, Gable's number two. Paris or Dom are number three. Again, you could make the argument for that because both of them have beaten Gwizdowski, but Dom has beaten Gabe in the past. So. But if you look at...
The comment number four on everyone's list was indeed Austin DeSanto.
Take it. But, dude, your audio is cutting out. I have no idea what the hell you're saying.
Is it? Are we good? Are we
back? Nah, you're chilling, but... Yeah, again, like, some dude put Tanner Hall as number five. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, Tanner Hall? I was like, what is he doing right now?
Don Bradley's undoubtedly in the top four. Then I think I'm going to have to put Tony Nelson at number five because obviously Amar Desi doesn't wrestle in the U.S. And Kirk Lee will have to go at number six. Obviously, he has a win over Neville's right there. Would be around eight or nine. I don't know who else is really in that. I think Neville's – I don't know if Neville's beat Tony Cassiope or not, but I'm assuming he does. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt right there. Yusuf Umeda, he's beaten. Adam Kuhn's pretty much negligible in the situation when he's going to go to Greco straight away, obviously, for the Olympic trials, can't wrestle both. But, yeah, no, the ratings are kind of weird, so I think Kirkley is going to have to fit in at the number six spot unless he can avenge that loss.
Yeah, I mean – we see him wrestle Tony Nelson. I mean, not Tony Nelson, sorry. We see him wrestle Gwiz at this upcoming event. We could see, you know, we could see some fireworks come out of him.
I hate to be this guy, but I think Gwiz is kind of going to expose him here just for the sole fact that, like, they both have pretty similar wrestling styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's to an extent. You know, Kirk loves to just hit that snap down. He's behind you like that. Like, that's insane to see. Gwizdowski's guy who's going to move you around and take good shots and finish them 100% of the time.
Yeah, I think that ranking is solid. I mean, I think, you know, just based off of, you know, obviously, like you said, just pure performance, I think that's what we have to go off of. And, you know, obviously, as we, you know, let's move. We're gonna move on here to the next match of the card, which I believe we just talked about Mason Paris, and then we did touch a little bit about Mason and Gwiz. You know, that big match there. Yeah. Gwiz ended up teching Mason Paris with that incredible leg lace that he has.
No, my bad. Anybody listening to Ollie version, I was just coughing my ass off. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't have COVID. I was drinking some coffee. You know, it's like. It was like 10 o'clock at night right now, my bad. But, yeah, I think Paris vs. Gwiz feature match of that tournament, no matter what happens. You know, it kind of sucks, again, we didn't get to see Adam Kuhn or Yusuf Umeda wrestle. I thought, again, we might have seen Adam Kuhn wrestle against Nick Wazdowski in the second match. But honestly, at the end of the day, I don't even know if Kuhn made weight. But, you know, putting Umeda out. I like Umeda, too, but that would kind of just been a waste right there.
I that's funny because I kind of agree with you on that one.
Dude, I don't know.
I was like, Adam Kuhn's at the tournament. He made weight for this. He was cut weight for this tournament.
I doubt he cut weight for a tournament he knew he wasn't going to wrestle in.
Yeah, no, he didn't even step on a scale.
It didn't even look like him or Hamida had singlets on. They were just there. It was like, hey, we'll take some of the prize money too. I'm like, all right. But yeah, we'll be on that line. This match was probably my favorite. I was like, after this, I'm like, do you know who the fuck Nick Wazdowski is? dude, and then gets he loses the next day. Come on, man. But no, Parrish was firing attacks. Like, Gwiz is again a guy. Like, assuming a lot of people don't really look this deep into it, which I kind of do a little bit, but like, Mason Parrish is a guy that wrestles with Adam Kuhn every day. And if there's somebody with heavy hips, that's Adam Kuhn. The fact that, look at this man's finishes, was diving under horsing Gwiz's leg up and like head wheeling it, whatever he was looking at. It's like a modified head wheel. Kind of using Gwizdowski's finish against him, actually, which is even more impressive than people already thought. But I'm going to have to assume like that's the finish this man used on Adam Kuhn. I'm probably assuming Gwizdowski has better defense than Adam Kuhn, obviously. Kuhn being a Greco dude full-time now. But damn, that was just insane. And then Gwizdowski just like, all right, I'll let you get that 8-0 lead. Fuck you. We're taking one shot. We're getting one re-attack hit. We're going to let you think you have this takedown. And I know damn well you haven't wrestled freestyle against any of the best guys in the world. Leg lacing, you're going for a ride. Take some five more times.
He went for a ride into the next day.
Yeah, this man just went. He got lucky that he ended up out of bounds.
Yeah.
And after he was going to go all the way. You know, Gwiz made some very good adjustments in the match. You know, obviously, circling right's going to cause you right and go into Parrish's shot and dump, which is two things that you don't want to get into either way. Right? Dump being more important. But.
Yeah, the dump.
Circles left, kind of gets Parrish shot. Parrish, you know, obviously the guy is going to keep on shooting. Takes Parrish's head, throws it outside, kind of rendering that dump useless. And then he's backing on a re-attack. Another finish. Then he gets back in on another re-attack. Another finish. And then that final sweep to a low double, it's over. You know, obviously Gwiz, I don't think he was very happy with that performance. I don't think anybody would have won, but it made for some good commentary. Overall, if I had to be honest, sloppy match by Gwiz, but, you know, he pulled through when he needed it. But also going based on the fact that Parrish did beat him next time, not the greatest showing by Mason Parrish either. But Gwiz used his experience, kept his composure, and capitalized where he needed to win the match.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I think that he really just went out there and just showed him who Nick Gwizdowski is. And, you know, that kind of set him up for this next match. You know, he came in with a huge tech fall coming into this next match that we're about to talk about. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, adding that extra factor that Gable stopped that momentum and just shut him down even adds to another point of, you know, he just came off a huge tech fall over Mason Parrish. Coming into this match hot, and then all of a sudden, Gable does what he does best and shut that match down.
Yeah. So here we have the feature match. We're going to this. You know, I don't think anybody really even cares about this match anymore, which is the crazy part. Gable Stevenson versus Nick Gwizdowski match. You know, final X. Gwizdowski winning 3-3, 4-4, half criteria both times. You know, we're expecting a good one here. A lot of people were talking about Gable Technium. Like, that's honestly just not realistic at this level of guys.
No.
You know, especially both freestyle guys who wrestled freestyle. Parrish may have been the only exception. You know, obviously a younger – not even younger. He's just, like, a less developed freestyle wrestler than he is folk style. And, you know, he was a dual sport athlete. I don't think Gwizdowski or Gable were either. That plays a factor, obviously. But no excuses. So we'll run to this match. Gable does get a takedown. You know, runs Gwizdowski out of bounds out of an underhook. Gwiz tries to ground it and take it out of bounds. Or maybe just, like, whip him over and get the one on a push out. Gable tosses it over, gets the takedown. You know, I don't really think any much of it. At the end of the day, I think, you know, positional awareness kind of won Gable that match. And kind of got inside Gwiz's head. I think Gwiz kind of looked like he was like, oh, this guy took it to Parrish, you know, obviously. And I'm in the situation where I'm down, not really. But, you know, again, Gwiz kept his composure, got him out of bounds. Gable's in the quad pod. Now, that was even more impressive to me out of anything this entire match. Gable Steveson being able to chill in a quad pad without breaking down to a knee against Nick Gwizdowski. Keep in mind, you know, obviously, Gwiz is not going to go for that four in the middle.
Yeah,
that's going to be an edge move because, worst case, Gable sits out, gets on top. That could be game over right there. But Gwiz went for that, you know. Obviously, got called out of bounds. I'm going to have my mixed opinions on that, but he didn't have any continuation. Really, he's kind of already at the edge. So he gets his one there. Gwiz is kind of the guy on the attack right now. Gable's kind of just playing the smart. Said before, this all go, 100% focus. Gwiz takes in the shot. Gable stuffs the head, gets the ankle. You know, Gable's guy, I don't know if you can compare this to Frank Chamizo, but, like, he doesn't use his hips as defense.
Yeah.
Unless you get in on shot and he just plops on. Because that's all he has to do, because he's just that good.
Yeah.
He doesn't use his hips on defense. His hips up in the air. He uses hips once to push away and then grip that ankle and just – the level, the foot speed this man possesses is just something else right there. But otherwise, you know, unless you really break it down and look at it, you can't really appreciate what there is because, again, there's nothing flashy, nothing really crazy. And that's just what a high-level match is. You know?
Yeah.
You could have two of the best Greco guys in the world going at it.
Yeah.
Or you could have a Greco god in the scrub. You're obviously going to watch the scrub match because he's going to suplex him, like, twice.
Yeah.
And then you watch the top-level match, it's 1-0. And it's like, oh, all right.
It was just like you said. It was two gladiators going at each other. You know, this entire match just looked like two men that were out there to win. And, you know, it really showed, you know, just a low-scoring match, a hard match for both guys. And obviously, you know, you have Gable coming out on top, kind of giving everyone a little bit of a shocker there, you know, with that type of victory, you know. Everyone knew it was possible. I mean,
I think Gable would have – Gwiz had to be the favorite going into this match. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
I also have a couple more things to say. I think the reason Gwizdowski is taking these matches is to prepare himself for the Olympic trials.
Oh, yeah.
Because he could very well duck these guys. You know, he's taking the one seed either way. He doesn't care. But if he wrestles right now, takes these losses, I bet you he's a guy who watches all the film in the world. If he can assess those mistakes and he can, you know, honestly just – kind of correct those. If he could very well meet a plethora of guys in the finals. It's not just Gable and Paris. It's Gable, Paris, Kirk Fliet. And again, Don Bradley's been a staple in this, you know. If he's going to capitalize off of somebody's mistakes. You can't just go around taking bad shots on this guy without getting plopped. And that's where I kind of have the fear with Mason Paris. Because if Paris takes one bad shot, and Dom hits him with a double or something as a retake, it could be game over right to your back. That goes for Gable also. You know, again, I already said it. Guys like Tony Nelson, Dom, and Gwiz are always going to be one-point matches. All he needs is for, you know, maybe even take one good call to go his way. It could push a bunch of different guys up the rankings everywhere. You know, I don't think Neville is going to be too much of a factor in this. And Cassiope, the performance I saw from him at U23s was kind of just underwhelming, to be honest.
Yeah.
A guy who we teched in Yusuf Hamida, and he ended up losing to after 8-7. You know, Hamida's obviously like a guy who's improved a lot. People really don't talk about him. You know, I think Hamida takes the win over Neville's this time around. I don't think it's by much, but I think, again, a guy like Nick Neville's, you know, you get to that point where you're having – a family and all that, you're going to get a little bit away from the sport. Same thing you kind of saw with Bo Nickel a little bit. I think Bo's kind of back now, you know, obviously playing for his win and everything. It takes a lot more dedication to get back into it. I mean, this guy who's, you know, he's still young, practicing with Mason Paris, Adam Kuhn every day. One of the best things you could ask for, you know, you have a guy who's going to shoot on you every time, and you have a guy who's going to go up right with you.
Yep.
And to me, it's like a blend of those two also. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't have the attack rate, doesn't have the upper body ability, but he's solid in every position. That's, you know, I'm not going to give up dumb points really anywhere, and that's how he's made himself a staple in this weight class as a two-time All-American. You know, he placed eighth where he lost Nick Neville's in the 7th-8th match. I don't really think he was going to make it there.
Yeah, I really don't think a lot of people thought he would make it there.
Yeah, again, and a very, like, kind of the laughingstock of the NCAA is Maryland. You know, he was their lone bright spot right there. Placed 5th the next year. I had him coming in at 7th, actually. I think the scariest part watching that was his blood round match with Sam Stoll, where he did drop a 1-0 decision. But he took out Sam Stoll, secured self spot as an All-American, beat Matt Stenzel, I'm pretty sure it was, and fell to Umar Dezzi. No real surprise there, obviously. Dezzi was my pick to place third if the brackets fell out the way. I wish they had, you know, Kassar's one seed, Gables two, but Derek did get that one seed fair. I would have had, theoretically, my bracket would have been Kassar, Gable, Dezzi, White, Stencil, Hilger, Hamida. We'll throw in Wood there under Dezzi, but. And then, so, you know, obviously some upsets kind of. I don't even know if you can call them upsets, you know. Dezzi isn't the best folk style wrestler and Wood beat him. That's really all that happened there. But, you know, obviously that's in the past. You know, it's good to go around. You know, I've watched a lot of these matches, just seeing, just looking at future matchups, seeing how they might play out. And I've called a good amount of them. You know, obviously I picked Gwiz over Paris and Gable. It didn't turn out that way, but that's, you know, I don't see it as a bad pick by any chance. You could pick either one of those guys. I think most people would have said Mason Paris over Gwiz is crazy until it actually happens. But, yeah, so, you know, first match of the quarterfinals, only have two teams competing, Spartan Combat, and Cliff Keen did get a bye through the first round. So, our first match here was Gable Stevenson versus Jordan Wood. You know, rematch of the third, fourth match at NCAAs. And who's number one? These guys have history. You know, I kind of didn't even know if Gable was going to get the tech fall. But he ended up getting it, like, midway, late through second period. Dude, Wood looks good, though. Like, I don't – like, I get he didn't win a match, but dude looks solid.
Yeah, he looked
– Gable just kind of – it looked like Gable had to try harder than usual with, like, chain moves together, take him down. Because, again, these guys wrestle each other so much, and that's going to happen over time. I don't even know, man. It just kind of like another Gable match. I think this match has the folk style. It's a lot closer because yeah. Wood knows how to scramble. Like, I don't know how to say this, but like he's not one of the super athletic guys, but he's technically sound in every position, and he knows how to scramble, and he can turn that into his own points.
Yeah,
I think Wood wins the match? No, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that freestyle. I think Gable just. It's Gable, you know, especially coming after that huge win over Gwiz. And now, you know, he's kind of just picking out the prey at this point. And now, you know, you got Jordan Wood, who's new on the scene, comes in and he's like, oh, got to wrestle Gable again. And, you know,
Gable. Wood's older than Gable, my guy.
Yeah. You know.
They've wrestled upwards of like 10 times, I think.
Yeah.
But here we have I don't think there's really – is there really much to talk about in this match? Or?
No, not really.
Gable just didn't – you know, again, yeah. I'm sorry if you want to hear more about this. There's really nothing to talk about, though.
Yeah, no.
But next one we have Nick Gwizdowski over Mardezzi, 10-0.
Not a surprise again.
I think it's kind of surprising for the sole fact that these guys have wrestled at the World Cup, things like that. And it's been a competitive match every time.
Uh-huh.
Not too committed, like 5-2, 5-3, 7-2, I think was the worst discrepancy there. But, dude, when Nick Gwizdowski might have one of the deadliest laces nobody talks about.
It is incredible. When he locks that thing up, you're going.
People don't realize, like, the equivalent of a heavyweight shooting in high school is the equivalent of a world-class heavyweight hitting a leg lace to that level.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, you're going to have guys like – I think Greco guys, obviously, transitional folk style, are going to have the nastiest gut wrenches ever. I think a lower weight class is going to be a little bit easier to defend that. But look at the top guys, Taha Ghul, Gino Petriashvili, Kasamboy, Rakhimov, the guy who pinned Gable in the Junior World Finals. You know, those are top three guys in the world right now. All have some of the nasty luck lessons. Put Gwizdowski up there, I think I could solidly put him at number four without any real backlash right there. Those guys, all legally Steve's, and then kind of move down the rankings a bit, and you're going to see guys like Don Bradley, big leg lace guy. But again, his body type, you know, his lace release thing, probably not. Tony Nelson, I think, is a bigger of a gut guy. over leg lace just because this dude's fucking massive, you know?
He's huge.
But if you look at this match, Gwiz called lace, and that was really the deciding factor. I thought this match could have been a bit more competitive. But as soon as he caught that lace, I think he got 6 or 8 points off of that immediately. It was kind of just like one more takedown is over, and Desi was like, yeah. You know, kind of not the best showing for Desi. I think he could have kept that within a 3 or 4 point match if he wrestled to the best. Yeah, nothing really much to talk about here, I think.
Yeah, no, I feel
Desi
like
only wrestled.
Yeah, you know, this is just, eh.
Yeah.
So then what's after that? Is that
how many matches did Desi wrestle? 3 matches, okay. Yeah. But and then, yeah, we go to the semis, which we have Cliff King Wrestling Club and Spartan Combat, which are going to be wrestling now. Cliff King, obviously Mason Pictures, Nick Wazdowski, the rematch. And second one, obviously, NJRTC, Nate Jackson did end up getting the tech fall for Drew Foster. And Ty Walls did get the win over Jacob Cardenas and iced the duel immediately. So Don Bradley did forfeit to Jordan Wood. You know, I don't think anybody's ducking anybody here, obviously. I don't think there's any reason for that. To think that, you know, it looked mutual both ways. Obviously, took a loss. He was going to have to wrestle a match immediately. Might as well be 100% for that one, knowing it was against Nick Wazdowski. But you go to the first one. This was probably the most anticipated match for me in the action-filled duel. First match up there, we have NC State's Jacob Camacho and Seth Gross. I think Gross won that one. We'll move on to 65. Alec Mattaglia had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think he wrestled to Hayden Hiley right there. He wrestled Tommy Gant. Yep. I think Gant might have won that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
Yeah, Gant did win that one. It was a close match. Tommy Gant's another guy. He's been a veteran, you know. It's kind of experience versus talent right there. But, you know, Patelli's been solid, dude. Almost beat Zane Rutherford off that one, didn't he? Line card. But, yeah, no, move on to the second match. This was a match. Trent Tidley?
Oh, wait, I'm trying to think of what match this is.
74.
Yeah.
Not Hiley. I feel bad now. We're on my stream. I'm forgetting shit. But, I don't know. The one match I am referring to is going to be Miles Mean versus Trent Hiley. Dude, that's huge. I'm telling you, I would take a Mean over Hiley in a heartbeat. You know, Amin's a guy that competed with Zahid Valencia competitively. Trent Hiley's a guy who got major. For Hiley, Hiley had himself a hell of a weekend. And, you know, this man did the whole raising the roof thing afterwards, which is hilarious. After, I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, at 97, for Michigan, we have not for 97, my bad. I don't think 97 was too crazy of a match. Was it? You had Mike Machiavelli versus somebody right there. Mm-hmm. Was it Hayden Zilmer? No. Hold up, my bad. I'm trying to think. We'll get back to that, though. But we'll go to 125. Mason versus Nick Wazdowski, the much-awaited rematch right there. And, dude, it's a high-flying match. I think Wazdowski might just be a guy that Paris matches very well with.
100%.
Because I think Paris kind of just made better adjustments this match.
Yeah.
I think the main factor was Paris not getting caught in a leg lace a single time there, which is great for him.
He went back to the drawing board and figured out what he needed to do to stay off the ground and stay out of that lace. And as soon as he figured that out, it was game on.
Now, obviously, being a guy that hasn't wrestled that much freestyle, and when he wrestled freestyle, kind of just dominated out of every position, just being better than guys. This is where technique is going to come into play a lot more. Yeah. It's just that little thing. Because that little thing costed him 10 points in the last match.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mason Paris came out big, and then after the win, taunts Trent Hiley, does the whole raise the roof thing after winning the duel for Cliff Keen, whoever won that match wins the duel right there. So that was huge. Oh, that next time I think was Dominic Abinader versus Mike Machiavelli.
Yeah,
that's why I was confused, because I think Abinader was bumming around 86, 97, just all over the place. I think Machiavelli kind of, you know, won that pretty handily right there. But, again, Spartan Combat versus NJRTC, I think the biggest match is here. You know, Neshon Garrett looked great. Again, dropped close one to Vito. That one thing was debatable, whether it was four or whether it was one for Garrett, because he was out of bounds. Continuation theoretically shouldn't affect the defending wrestler since Vito was moving out of bounds. But that's a whole debate I really don't want to get into. James Green round two happened. I thought James Green was going to, you know, pull it out slightly this time. I didn't think he was going to do anything crazy. But Yanni does Yanni things and won this match 4-4 on criteria. Pretty great match all around. We'll go to 74, which was Makai Lewis versus Jordan Balfour. Again, pretty much the same story. I think a little bit closer match right here. Yeah, nothing much to talk about. Makai Lewis, you know, honestly very underwhelming this tournament. But, again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because he hasn't competed since last December. That could be a huge thing. But I also think he isn't that as good of a freestyle wrestler as he is folk style. Because, you know, all his wins have pretty much been avenged against him. So that's really what it is. But you move on to 86, which is the match of the night that got NJRTC the upset win over Spartan Combat. Nate Jackson versus Drew Foster. Jackson's been a guy coming back onto the scene. Drew Foster's a guy, you know. Nobody ever thought he would make it this far, and he's here. And he's here to stay after that last win. And then obviously, he comes out. Statement Jackson, you know, kind of just takes it to him. Gets the 10-0 tech fall, you know, right there. And I think the match of the night after that was, again, Ty Walls over Jacob Cardenas. Cardenas put up a hell of a fight, you know. Again, it's just kind of the age difference right there, which is essentially what won Ty Walls that match. And, again, ice the duel. Don Bradley just kind of, you know, why wrestle that other match if you really don't have to and you're wrestling consolation, which is going to make the, you know, the prize pool obviously go up or down. So I think that was probably the best thing in his situation, just to forfeit that match. And he did what he did there. So before we talk about the finals, which matchup was Cliff Keen Wrestling Club. And and the NJRTC, obviously.
All right, my bad.
We had some technical errors, guys. We're chilling, though. So we're going to the 5th, 6th place match, which is going to be Ohio RTC. You know, I think what really propelled them to that match was the huge upset with Mike Machiavelli knocking off Colin Moore. For a second time, let's add that, though. If you guys know the college match and you comment the score, I will sub to you. To the whole 12 people that watch this, thank you. You know? But, Amara Desi versus Tony Nelson. I'll be honest, Tony's kind of should have won that match 100%. There's no reason he shouldn't. Tony Nelson was up to a 2-1 lead. Had a nice low single on Desi. Came out the back, finished it solidly. But he took a shot on a leg kind of late and ended up giving up 2 for a go-behind for Desi. Nobody did anything special in this match, honestly, but Tony Nelson did produce the only offensive takedown and kind of threw that match, you know. I think that match, if they wrestled Gable, I don't even think they had to wrestle Gable, which is kind of the thing I'm kind of contemplating saying here. I think either one of them should have won that match, and I don't think there's any debate there. Where they should have or they shouldn't have, it's where they did or they didn't. And that caused Gopher Wrestling Club to go home, I think, with a – I don't even think they got a prize for 6th place, which kind of sucks. But
no prize, yeah, prize for 6th, which is a waste of money and time.
I think everything was paid for them to go out there, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, pretty much that. I think Gable, again, only came to wrestle that match. I think Gable would have 100% beat Amara Desi. But, you know, it is what it is right there. So now we're going to our 3rd, 4th match. Now, this is where we had a lot of shit. So I'm going to go to my Instagram real quick because I think one post I made, and I'll read this 100%. I love how nobody acknowledged that this man went down. This match went down yesterday between Mike Machiavelli and Dom Bradley. My man's Dom took him down in like the first 5 seconds and just proceeded to say "fuck it" and chill for the rest of the match. LMAO, interesting to say the least. But the funniest part, the worst part was, you know, obviously they're going to this match with Spartan Combat and NC State Wolfpack RTC, which was called. It's kind of pissed me off saying that because WRTC in Wisconsin, the same thing. But, you know, obviously Dom's expecting Nick Wazdowski, you know. Dom wanted to avenge those losses. You know, prove that he was back on top. But again, Gwiz not wrestling the best he has. Knew that a match with Dom Bradley. I'm just going to, pure speculation here, take what I say at face value. Don't take what I say at face value, however I'm supposed to say that. But to me, it seemed like he didn't want that extra bow and just kind of passed it on or just went to forfeit. But Machiavelli, you know, I can't really blame him for that. Didn't have the day he wanted, didn't have the tournament he wanted. But, you know, again, it's all a learning experience because the only thing that matters are the Olympic trials and the Olympics. So, you know, if he gets a spot there, he's golden. But, again, Machiavelli only dropped a 2-1 loss to Dom Bradley. But Dom kind of did take him down within 5 seconds, just proceeded to chill for the rest of the match. And then Dom tried to, like, throw him, and Machiavelli got a push. It was something different, you know. Props to Machiavelli for taking on the match. But, you know, we're going to scroll down here to my comment section and see what's up with this. Yeah. Dom Bradley wasn't the match I wanted. Get the takedown and chill. Gerard Trice, this guy who's beaten Dom, beaten everybody pretty much in this field. Lost to Tyrell Dolagnev in the Olympic trial finals. But he said, who is this? Dom Bradley responds to Mike Machiavelli, 97 kgs. He's tough, but not a heavyweight. Not the guy they should have put out. Throwing a little bit of shit at Gwizdowski, you know. I love Dom. Dom probably just tried to be as respectful as he could. You know, he's probably mad again that they didn't put Gwiz out. But Mike Machiavelli sees this. Didn't tag him at all. I just wanted to be known. Dom Bradley, no lie, I'm trying to get more matches up at heavyweight. I think it'd be fun. Dom, I'm down. We got to run back soon. My quad is so messed up from you. I owe you one, my man. And Mike said, yo, that was all you hitting the knee, not me, and I'm definitely down. I mean, you know, obviously those are two guys, you know, you couldn't really expect them to talk shit to each other. Probably the two of the nicest guys out there. But it was kind of interesting to see that. Just in general.
I just think this was an absolute crazy, crazy match. I was not expecting it to be that close. I thought Dom Bradley was just going to absolutely blow him out of the water.
But that, yeah, like, that obviously, but also you have to, again, consider that Dom kind of just was passive as all that match and didn't really care. You know, the first takedown he tried to get just a bunch of gut wrenches.
He was just trying to go home.
Yeah, honestly, at that point, you know, they already secured the win. As long as he won that match and didn't blow it off like some
calls.
The ref was like, all right, you don't want to be here. I'm not going to make you stay. Let's just end as quick as possible. But, yeah, well.
So, think that leads on. Finals.
Dude, your audio is cutting out just a little bit.
We good?
Focus yourself into the frame.
Hello?
Focus yourself into the frame. All right, thank you. Now we're good. Let's just speak clearly.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yes, we are. All right, back.
I think that just leaves us with the finals then.
Yeah, you know.
Very underwhelming.
It is not. It was a good match, solidly, but, you know, obviously Mason Paris versus Jordan Wood, not too good of a matchup. You know, see, I get a lot of people trying to downplay Mason Paris's win over Nick Wazdowski. But if you theoretically do dive into the stats, that is a dude who has never All-American.
Yeah, no.
Beating a two-time national champ, three-time national finalist, and a three-time world team member. And people will really forget that. But if you look at Gable Steveson, you know, junior world champ, junior world silver medal, you know, pretty much has every accomplishment there is to have at the junior level. Never wrestled U23, has a tech fall over Adam Kuhn. his third NCAAs, has done pretty much everything there is to have. Until, you know, obviously he hasn't made an Olympic team yet because of Gwizdowski. He hasn't made a world team yet because of Gwizdowski. And he didn't win an NCAA title because of Anthony Kassar. Again, you know, Penn State Magic, yeah. Something just there. But you have to look at that. Water. It's like, yeah, something different. But, you know, again, great career for this guy you have to look at here. But, you know, diving into Mason Paris versus Jordan Wood. It kind of, you know, Wood put up a hell of a fight. Like, you can't say he didn't. Paris caught fire in this tournament. Like, that's all you can really say for it also.
Yeah. I mean, he was just absolutely pedal to the metal the entire tournament. And I think it really showed. I think, you know, here with the closing minutes of this video, all you could say is Mason Paris won this tournament. I think if there was a chance to see him wrestle Gable, I think it would have been one hell of a match.
Yeah. Well, you see at the end of the day, go for wrestling club just isn't that good. Yeah. That's really all it is. You know, it sucks to say that. But who they have, Ed, Evan Wick and Gable Steves. And Hayden Zummer. Zummer's a guy you can't look past either. I don't even know who they had at 125. Who did they have? Oh, dude, Zach Sanders, guy mad overlooked. Dude's a four-time All-American, wrestling the blood around every time. Like, I can't even say this, but he's a fucking warrior, dude. No, didn't obviously have the show. We got taken by Nashawn Garrett in like 30 seconds, but that's Nashawn Garrett.
I wonder how much Gable weighed in at this tournament because he looked skinny.
Nah, he was like probably –
he looked slim.
Probably around 255. 255,
you think?
Yeah. Gwiz is like 270.
I feel like he just changed his entire body, like structure.
I feel like his body was always good. He doesn't put that much effort. He's maturing. You have to realize that. Have you ever seen Gwizdowski when he first came into college and he wrestled for Binghamton?
Yeah,
that was something else. Most people don't even know Gwizdowski wrestled for Binghamton. That was, you know, what's even crazier? Yanni Diakomihalis. Greg Diakomihalis, Colin Burns, another Division I kid. I did a podcast with, like, episode 4. Like, this was a mad long ago. And Nick Wazdowski. All went to the same high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's great. Like, most people don't even know that. Like Nick Wazdowski and Yanni went to the same high school. I don't think they were there at the same time, but I'm assuming Yanni's probably wrestling down there in middle school. Yeah. Chris might have been senior if I'm at this. Probably nowhere near right, but I said what I said. No, it's actually runs back a little bit. Yanni won his first title when Snedder versus Kuhn happened, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I'm off by a bit.
Yeah, you're off. You're
off. Quiz graduated in like 2012, and then by my math, never mind. But yeah. You know, obviously those guys know each other; they're probably friends. But yeah. Overall, though, my thoughts on the RTC Cup is, you know, solid event by Flow Wrestling. Like, honestly, like,
oh yeah,
Amar Desi versus Jordan Wood.
Yeah, Don Bradley. Like the event. I missed the kind of like the dual meet ways. You know, I missed those dual meets. And I love how everyone got into it. There was cheering. There was clapping from the team. Like half those guys weren't even like on teams together. Before this whole thing, like, some of the guys just got shoved in random spots, and they acted like a team. It was insane to see.
Yeah, there's only literally one thing I don't like about this. You don't do the fucking Olympic weights. That just made the whole thing go down the criteria the entire time. If they used, was it 57, 65, 74, 86, 97, and 125? That's the only way. Six weight classes. You know how many 3-3 ties you're going to have? You know, I get if you put it into normal dual meet, like 10 weight classes in college, 5 and 5. 10 weight classes normal, Olympics. 57, 61, 65, 70, 74, 79, 86, 92, 97, 125. How many more 5-5 ties are you going to have?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, again, I have to say this, but 97 wasn't a big weight class looked at after Jaden Cox pulled out of the tournament with COVID. You know, prayers up to him, man. I think it's been a while, so he's probably doing good already. But, you know, kind of a tough thing to see. I think Colin Moore versus Jaden Cox would have been interesting. But Moore looked like he was on fire the first day and then dropped that match to Machiavello, and it was like, eh. I think Zilmer lost to Colin Moore 2-2 on I swear it's Caden Zilmer versus Colin Moore is literally Colin Moore versus taller Colin Moore. That's all it is.
It is, yeah.
But Hayden Zilmer's a guy, again, can't be looked past, you know? I doubt anybody that weight class
I'm just really... going to give my overall thoughts. I think overall this is a great event. I think, you know, some really, really good matches. I think, you know, some great matches at every weight class. Great to see some guys come back and get some time on the mat, like Nashon Garrett. I just think, you know, seeing him come back, it was crazy. You know, he did incredible. You know, we also saw some breakout guys. Carchilla from Ohio State, incredible performance. He had an incredible performance. Both of the Hidley brothers had incredible performance. You know, it was, you know, there's just some guys that, you know, you have to watch for them now. Some of these guys are going to be, you know, breaking out, and you're going to see them, you know, keep moving up that ladder of guys. And, you know, when the Olympic trials come around, who knows, you might get an upset in the finals from a few of these guys that we watched, you know, rest of this weekend.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, that's insane that Flo's been able to put this together, you know. Obviously, you guys are getting a lot more content if you get that Rockfin subscription. No, honestly, I highly recommend it at this point. Like, most time, I know I would be telling people, like, I don't get a Flo subscription. But then when you actually realize, like, that's a lot of content for $150 a year. Same thing with Rockfin, adds up to $120 a year right there. You know, obviously, like, I would say if you have the money, get these track wrestling ones. But those are, like, $30 pay-per-view, like, that's a lot. Like, get the Rockfin one, get the Flow one if you can. Obviously, like, that it gets expensive because, again, at the end of the day, that's $22.50 more in subscriptions every month. But, you know, if you can afford it, go for it. I think it'd be really good, you know, source of wrestling things if you're really in the mood to see some stuff. But, yeah, so before we close it out, some things I want to say. We dropped merch about a week ago, a month ago, whatever it was, honestly. Because my Instagram account got messed up. I can't post stuff everywhere. Yeah. The link to my merch will be down below. The link to my podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcast will be below. And if you like this episode, you know, subscribe, leave a like. Show some love. Trying to get to 1,000 as quick as possible. You know, I'm not going to fiend over followers, but, you know, that'd be a cool milestone to achieve. And, yeah, so today we went over the RTC Cup recap, and we're going to talk all of it. Nah, I'm not even on that much anymore, but obviously, dang, fuck, you lost my train of thought. But, yeah, so some big matchups that are going to be coming up are this Nittany Lion Wrestling Club versus Wolfpack RTC. Was that just an Nittany Lion card for, technically?
Yeah,
it's technically what that is at this point. A big matchup that could go down there is Greg Kirkland, currently ranked number 6, I would assume, if you take away Kuhn and all that stuff. But he's ranked 6 right now. He could have big upset potential over number 1, Nick Wazdowski right there. And Demetrius Thomas out of Pitt and Jordan Wood out of Lehigh will be going down on Rockfin with the Pitt Wrestling Club on December 22nd. And also, you know, our closing thing, DT versus Jordan Burroughs is happening.
It is going to happen. Yes, it is.
What's your pick?
And I'm going to call it now. I think we could also see an Anthony Kassar Gable Stevenson rematch coming up.
That's not should happen.
I think it could happen.
Yeah. You know, as much as I love Penn State, I love Kassar, Gable wins that match. But, you know, obviously, you know, the one of the most, you know, if you guys are going to say something, like, at least have a valid argument to back it up. Like, this man should have commented in my section. He's like, oh, Gable's gotten a lot better. I'm like, so is everybody else. That's like saying, oh, one guy gets better, so, like, everybody else just staying the same. We're like, yeah. I'm not going to rant about that too much.
These guys are at Division I colleges with Division I coaches with a room full of guys that are working out just as hard, if not harder, as them. You only could get better. There's no room to get worse.
I think Penn State has the best coaching there is, you know. Obviously, you could debate that a little bit with John Smith and Tom Terry Brands, but Kalis Anderson, man, he's proven himself time and time again. Were there two gold medalist coaches right there? Jake Varner and Kalis Anderson. And then I think somebody's joining the coaching staff soon, too. It'd be very interesting to see what happens, you know, obviously. And you're obviously going to have, like, older Penn State guys around there, too, you know. Again, Jimmy Lawson might be around there. You know, obviously, I talked to Jimmy. He's not going to be there, all that. But, and then you could have, like, you have older national champs, Kerry McCoy. You know, I'll probably pop in once in a while. You know, you guys see a lot of things, and Kale never really ceases to amaze us with these miracles he puts out. You know, he turned a guy who was a one-time state qualifier, one-time state champ, into a national champion. Like, he can do, he knows how to get stuff done. And especially with a guy who has the work ethic, the confidence, and other things, you know, obviously that great character that does present, that's going to be huge right there. So, I don't know what just happened with Derek, but no, I'll probably just wrap it up myself. So, this has been episode 41 of Late Night Shots. Next episode, we'll most likely be talking about these upcoming matchups with the Pitt RTC and, you know, the Nittany Lion wrestling card with the Wolfpack RTC. And we might be doing a little bit digging into the Jordan Burroughs versus David Taylor match. But thank you guys for watching episode 41 of Late Night Shots. And we came up with a new schedule, so we might be seeing you guys like 3 to 4 times a week. I know I've been a little bit inconsistent just finishing up my finals for college. But thank you guys for watching, and we will see you again next time.